so unworthy to be able to even stand up here today and even attempt to say and share what he's done for us. Before I get too far into it, if you need the nursery today, my wife's in there taking care of the nursery, so if you have any children, whatever you'd like to go in there, she's in there. Today I want to talk about one word. You know, I like preaching one word sermons. And I want to talk about who. As we think about Easter, to understand Easter, we're going to have to understand that Easter was a time of restoration. Easter was a time, and I want you to get this word, it was a time of restoring innocence. Innocence was stolen from us, but because of what he did for us, we've been restored. So I want us to go, now I want to go to a familiar scripture to start with. Let's go to the book of Luke, if you will. As we consider the word who, I want to go to Luke chapter 24. Beautiful, beautiful story. This is the one that everybody's familiar with. This is the one that we're going to hear all over America today. Chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that awesome? And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek you living among the dead? This is the verse I want you to get, verse 6. He is not here. He's risen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Everything we are, everything we hope to be is built right there on that verse. Because if he had not come out of that tomb, he'd have been just like everybody else. And what we need in life is something that people can't give you sometimes. Sometimes you can figure things out, but sometimes you can't. So as we look at this, I said, Lord, I want something fresh. I know the story is beautiful, and I thank you, God, for everything you did for us, but I just got to believe there's a little something more there. So I began to research, and so the thought came to me to understand what Easter's all about, to understand what this day is all about, we got to go all the way back to the beginning. So let's go to Genesis, if you will. I want to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Now, those of you that study the word, understand what this part is right here. Easter, I want to go ahead and put the context out there. Easter is an event of restoration of innocence. Innocence is a beautiful thing. That's why we love our children so much. They're so innocent. But that's a beautiful thing. And God allowed his son to go to a cross to restore that back to us. I want to show when we lost it. Chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, it says, now the serpent, speaking about the devil, more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall eat of the tree of the garden. Now we know that story, that they were in a garden, a beautiful place of peace, a beautiful place of tranquility. And the enemy comes in, says, God's not real. He's not who he says he is. You don't have to do what he says. Do your own thing. So they begin to listen to that. Say, yea, did God say that? Verse 2 said, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the tree of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat thereof, for if you do, you're going to die. Now that doesn't mean physical death, but that just means you're going to separate from innocence. All right? He said here in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You hear that? For God doth not know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes are going to be open, and you'll be like God. Verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes of the tree desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and they eat. So what did they do? They did exactly what he told them not to do. There's a reason for that. All right? Then it said in verse 7, and their eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked from the first time. It says, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And in verse 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden at the cool of the day, because this is when he always came and fellowship with them. There's nothing like the presence of God. And his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now it's funny to me, all this time they've been fellowshipping with God, but all of a sudden, nobody has told them anything. They disobeyed, and now they're hiding. All right? They're hiding from the one who created them and loves them the most. They're hiding. Hang on with me now. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Verse 10 said, he said, I heard the voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And here's what the Lord said. And this is what I love right here. God said to him, who told you you were naked? Who told you you were naked? So I want to talk about innocence just a little bit, because when you are created by God in the womb of your mother, you were created with a beautiful innocence that is a symbol to all of us, that is the union that God desires to have with all of us. Today, there's a lot of major confusion when it comes to God, when it comes to church, when it comes to all of that. And guess who threw that confusion? The same one that threw it in the garden. Did God really say that? So in essence, everybody kind of makes God out of who they want him to be. Who's right, who's wrong, and all of that goes on. So people mainly walk around with major confusion, but in the midst of it is they've lost that innocence. When I began to study this and begin to prepare for this some months ago, I began to think about us as children, as innocent. Do you remember when you were a child? And how the only thing you had to worry about was where you're going to play at. You remember that? The only thing you had to worry about was listening to mama's voice telling you to come on, let's eat. I mean, wasn't that the life? Don't you wish you could go back to that? But do you remember as a child when you learned something other than innocence? I remember, and see, I still believe in Santa Claus, all right? I put it out there. I'm believing. I'm out there. But that was the most hurtful thing to me in my life, is when I realized there won't no Santa Claus. And the other hurtful thing was to realize I'm Santa Claus now. You know, so I'm the one dishing out. But I'll never forget how unreal that seemed to me. It just, you know, have you ever looked at a little child's eyes when they're looking at Santa Claus or whatever? They're just dreaming, you know. But then they realize that's the state of innocence. I want to talk just a couple things, and because I know everybody's got a lot to do today, but I want to make you think about some things. First of all, I want to talk about what innocence is. Innocence, and it was amazing the research that I found in this, but innocence, this is an awesome statement right here, is the lack of awareness of guilt. That's awesome. Innocence is not feeling guilty. Innocence is a lack of the awareness of guilt. It's purity, it's harmless, it's blameless. That's why God tells us when we come to him, we got to come like a child, because that's who they are. They're innocent. Another writer said, innocence is simplicity. Do you remember when everything was simple? Do you remember when Andy and Marnie were the top TV program? Some of y'all already know what I'm talking about. The Andy Griffith Show. Simplicity. See, The enemy in the world's got something to do with taking all that away from us. Because he comes in and puts all this stuff in there that we really don't need to exist in life, but he does that, and will our lives get quickly complicated because we take on stuff that doesn't fit us. Simplicity. Adam and Eve lived in a free from guilt, no guilt atmosphere. And when they did what they did, guess what entered into the world? Guilt. And the Bible says that when you come to the Lord and you ask Him to come in your heart, that's the first thing He begins to deal with in your life is the guilt factor. Because none of us were created in this world on our own in the fact that we were born into sin and we had nothing to do with that. That was not our fault. It was Adam and Eve's fault. But because we were born in this world, we received that guilt, but it's so beautiful during that innocent time as a child, you don't even feel that. You just know that there's somebody going to take care of you. Another writer said that innocence is this, the presence of peace. When was the last time you really enjoyed peace? Innocence is the creation of fullness. God wants you to be full. Are you really happy today? Are you really full today? Are you really satisfied today? Because if you have not restored that back innocence that God's given in you, you'll never be satisfied. I want to break it down like this. First of all, I want to talk about innocence lost. To me, this is the most saddest part of the whole entire Bible, because God comes down in the end of the day and He desires so much to be a part of your life. Now the problem with that is that a lot of times we categorize God on what somebody told us. We categorize God on what a church told us, or what a preacher told us, or what somebody else told us. And I want to tell you, God is a very personal God. He wants to love you, just Him and you. Amen? Turn to the woman's side and say, God loves you. And He really does. He really does. That's His plan. But guilt came in the world and separated us from that. Now I want to talk about innocence lost. Who told you? I want to make this personal. Who told you you can't come to God? Who told you that you've done so many bad things that God's never going to love you again? Who told you that? Who told you that your life can't be restored? Who told you that God will not love you like you are? How many of you know that you can't change in order for God to love you? You don't have the ability to do that. Is that an amen there? I'm going to tell you, you know, I've already talked about it several times in this pulpit, one of the days that we try to be good. How many of y'all trying to be good today? You trying to look good? You are looking good. Let me say that. Y'all are looking real good today. But in your heart, you know, I'm going to be good today. And then all of a sudden, I done told y'all about those blue-haired saints in front of the car in front of you and all. And if you're not careful, you'll lose all that. Amen. So we can't be good in ourselves. But because of that, the enemy comes in and he begins to tell us, well, man, you messed up. You're divorced, you're on drugs, you're this, you're that. You made bad decisions in business, you're a failure, you're this. And I guarantee you, in an audience this big, and if you're listening by radio, all of you thousands that are here this morning, I guarantee you, you've heard that voice somewhere in your life that you don't measure up. And God came in the midst of a garden and asked them, who told you this? Because I hadn't told you. I created you with a beautiful environment. And Satan's main goal, keep that word who. Because who is everything right here. Who is the reason for Easter? Who is the reason you're going through what you're going through? Who is who? Who is those that always have that voice to get you on the wrong road? Amen? You're not good enough to go to church. You're not good enough to do this. You're not good enough to do that. And I want to tell y'all, let me just go on public record right now and say, all of this is lies. Satan deceived Adam and Eve with lies. Innocent was lost. I want you to get this. Because of lies. And what did he replace innocent with? He replaced innocence with guilt. Enemy loves to put guilt in your life because guilt is that heavy weight that makes you feel like you'll never be the same again.
That's right. Amen.
I want to tell you this. God can make you the same and can make you better. Amen?
Yes.
I told you it's going to be a little different. But that's the reason he came. That's the reason he was in the tomb. So that he could restore us. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. But innocence was lost. Get this. Because of truth. The enemy came in and lied. And ever since the beginning of time, there's been a battle of truth. Get this. The truth about God. What do you think about God? How do you feel about God? Think about your own personal. And I guarantee you, some of the ways you feel are by what you've seen or what you've heard or what you experienced in some church somewhere. That's your idea of God. But I want to tell you, your idea of God does not have anything to do with any of those things I said because he's big enough to love you by himself. He's big enough to deal with your issues and your problems by himself. And let me tell you what, God don't throw you away because you messed up. Is anybody here, let me go ahead because I need to turn this pulpit over to somebody else because is there anybody here today that has never messed up? Every one of us, right? We all mess up. Some days are bad, some days are good, but we all mess up. But see, God knew that, and there's an enemy out there who pumps you full, says, well, you know, let me give you this one. Has anybody in here ever thought, well, don't raise your hand, but just think about it. Has anybody here ever thought about there is no God? Now, I don't care how long you've been serving him, you hear that from time to time. Well, if there was a God, he really loved you, he would make things better. As if to say the enemy's going to make things better. Amen? Have you ever had those friends that just said, if you'll come and be my friend and do whatever, you know, and you left all that you believed and you left all that you thought of and you went with them and they kind of left you hanging? Were you better? No. So, the battle is truth about God. And I want to say this, the battle is truth about you. Who are you? Who are you really? Who told you you were naked? And the next thing they had was fear. They feared God. Now, why did they fear God? Has he done anything to them? Y'all give me about an hour and we'll finish this up. Has he done anything to them? He just took care of them. He loved them. And then all of a sudden, they're scared. All of a sudden, they're running, hiding themselves, putting fig leaves on. And all his question was, who told you? Who told you? Where did the word naked come from? Where did all that come from? You know what that really means? They begin to see themselves as they were without God. And I want to tell you something. When you begin to plan your life without God, it is fearful. It's very scary. Very scary. Who told you? The second thing I want to ask you about is innocence replaced. Innocence was replaced. Innocence was replaced with shame. Have you ever done anything in life that caused you to shame? I think we all have. Who told you? Get this now. You were guilty. Who told you you were guilty? Shame. Now all of a sudden they've been fellowshipping with God and now they're ashamed and scared of God and they're running from God. Who told you about God? I got somebody listening.
That's right.
Who told you about God? Who told you that He won't love you no matter what? Who told you you have to have the rules and the regulations lined all up for God to love? Who told you that? And that's really what he's saying. So innocence was replaced with shame. Shame is the guilt that Satan brings to cover you. Shame is that thing that has been sent to us, get this, to destroy us. If you don't deal with shame, guess what it'll do? It'll destroy you. It will separate you from God. And so that's what was going on. Innocence was replaced with shame. You know what shame is? Shame is an unbalanced life. It's a mind battle. Shame is a lie about you, and it's a lie about God. God didn't give you shame. Shame came from an enemy to separate you from God. See, sin is a word you don't hear much anymore because they say it's not politically correct and all that kind of stuff. But we don't want to offend nobody. But in the process of not offending nobody, more people are hurting than ever before. So don't you think we need to deal with the issue at hand? And the issue at hand is that God never told you you were not worthy. He never told you that you could change. He never told you. Listen, God loves you just like you are. And I want to go on record today saying it doesn't matter what state you're in right now. He loves you. He loves you. Shame says, oh, nah. And you know what shame does? See, shame is a covering. I'm almost done. I'm almost to the end. How many believe that?
I don't.
Okay. Shame is that covering that the enemy puts on you. And you got to get this part right here. To blind you of who God really is. And the last thing I want to talk about is innocence restored. You know, when God began to show me this simple message, and I began to think about, God could have left me out there, full of shame, separated, on my way to hell, diseased and everything else, and just left me. But He loved me enough to restore me. You know what Easter's all about? Easter's all about a God who loved you and me enough that He gave His Son to die for us so that what? So that we could be restored. Now see, a lot of people are hurting today in a lot of different ways. Have you ever wished in your life, and I am coming to a close, have you ever wished in your life that something wouldn't have happened?
Amen.
I wish that it had not happened. But here's what happens. It happened. It's in your life. And so what the enemy's job is to make you feel like that's all your life is. He will remember mistakes in your life every day. Let me tell you what Jesus did. When Jesus came and He gave His Son and we celebrate an empty tomb, we're standing here today talking about something. It's not a history book. It's not a storybook. It is real. There's an empty tomb because the God that we serve is real. And He knows that you're going through some real stuff right now. Easter's the restoration of innocence. Have you ever wished something hadn't happened? But it did. And you know the sting of it? Did you know that God can restore you and take the sting away? He may not can take the scar away. You know, if you ever had a bad injury or whatever, and you left a scar, and every time you see it, you remember that. Well, I want to tell you, a lot of us here today are scarred. A lot of us have been through some things we wish that we could change. A lot of us have been disappointed by people. And we acquired that to God, saying it was God. That wasn't God. That was the same voice in the garden telling you, it's okay. Go ahead. You'll be just like God. But there's another voice says, who told you? I'm going to leave you with a couple of things. Who told you God don't love you? Who told you God won't forgive you? Who told you that God won't restore you? Who told you, my last thing, that you'll never have peace again? Have you ever had such a storm in your life that you were just mad at everybody? And you were mad because situations and circumstances in your life, and you just separate from everybody. But I'm talking about a God that can even heal that. I'm talking about a God that can restore and break down those walls in your life. I want to tell you, Easter is the greatest day in the history of 365 days. It's the greatest day. Because it's the day that we stand on and believe and put our hearts' felt belief in, because there's an empty tomb. We're people that have to be convinced. We're people that has to know the truth. Well, the truth is there's an empty tomb, and he's real. And I want to tell you something about him. He will deliver what you need him to deliver. And I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet as we come to the close today. I'm going to leave you one final question. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe in your life right now? Who told you couldn't be happy no more? Who told you God can't restore? Who told you God can't forgive? Because he can do all those things. And as your heads are bowed right now, no one looking around, I want to have prayer with you. And I'm not going to go to you and embarrass you or anything like that. Nobody knows who's there because everybody's heads are bowed. If you're here today and you said, I've listened to those lies in my life, and I've been hurt, and I've been sidetracked, and I've even been mad at times at God, but I want to be restored, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands and say, pray for me. Pray for me. Thank God for the hands. Thank God for the hands all over this place. Hands are going off all over this place. God is here this morning. Thank God for that hand. God is here this morning to restore. I tell you what I want us to do. Right where you are is an altar. You can make an altar right now. And I want you to pray after me. You don't have to pray out loud. Nobody has to listen to you. You can pray in your heart. But here's what I want you to pray. Lord, I need you today. Lord, I need to be restored. I've allowed people to turn me away from you. And I need to come back to you. Now, Lord, I don't understand religion, and I don't understand all the church stuff. I don't understand all that. But I do know that I need you. And today, I make where I am an altar. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I ask you to restore me. Lord, I want to serve you to the best of my ability. Not what somebody else might think, but my ability. And Lord, today, on this Easter day, I dedicate my life to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Head still, remain bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just simply lift your hands and say, I thank you for that. Thank God for those hands. Thank God for those hands. God is in this place today. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being in this house today. We thank you, Lord, for Easter. Lord, I'm so short when it comes to words of what you did for us. But God, I thank you that you can restore that innocence. I thank you, God, that you can bring back that one-on-one relationship with you. And all the stuff that's happened in our lives, give us strength to overcome it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless every one of you today.